Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Two Wicked Desserts by Lynn Cahoon. Narrated by Angie Hickman. Chapter 1. Mia Malone watched as her grandmother, Mary Alice Carpenter, stared at the notes from her grimoire. The book's pages were that lovely cream color old books get, but the ink used to write the spells ranged from standard black or blue to the more recent ones in colored ink. Where her grandmother had found glitter pens, Mia didn't know. Her own grimoire was out on the large desk in the room. She didn't have half as many spells as her grandmother, but hers were neat and tidy in the large book, even from the beginning. "I'm certain I have the ingredients right. This spell should have worked." Grans peered at Mia over her round, wire-rimmed glasses. Mr. Darcy sat on the large bench in the middle of what used to be a chemistry lab before the school had closed. Mia had purchased the school to save it from being torn down for a strip mall, as well as give her a space to open her own catering company and cooking school in Magic Springs, Idaho. So far, the catering jobs and takeout business she'd snagged had kept the large empty building heated and food on the table, but Mia hoped the classes would start to put her monthly profit and loss statement in the green. She needed a slush fund for slow times, but she'd worry about that later. Today they were trying to help her cat. Mr. Darcy had taken on an unexpected visitor when he interrupted one of Grand's spells, after her beau, Dorian Alexander, had been killed by a rival coven leader. Mr. Darcy had been host to Dorian's spirit for several months now, and even if he wasn't Mia's familiar, she'd be able to see he was tired of sharing his body. Right now he stared at Grand's, waiting for her to put things back. He tapped his left foot twice, a signal he was getting impatient. "She's doing the best she can." Mia stroked his fur, and he nuzzled his face into her hand. Then he gave Mary Alice one last stare, let out a loud meow, and jumped off the bench. He ran to the closet, where the secret outdoor passage hid, pawed it open, and disappeared. Mia stared after him. "I guess he was done talking." "He's probably out hunting moles in the yard. Dorian always did like the outdoors, although he used to hunt deer and use a rifle or a bow rather than his teeth." Grans pushed a strand of hair from her face. "I really am trying. I love having Dorian around, but I know Mr. Darcy deserves his body back. Maybe I could transfer Dorian into that grandfather clock in my living room." "If we're doing that, shouldn't we be performing this spell at your place?" Mia wasn't sure her grandmother really wanted to release Dorian. While he was in Mr. Darcy, she could park him here at the school with Mia. If she released him into the clock, he'd be with her 24/7. "Dear, Dorian and I were just beginning our courtship. Don't you think it's too early for him to be moving in?" Grans closed the grimoire and glanced around the room. "Do you think I need to take the book upstairs while we have dinner? Or will it be safe here?" "With half the town knowing where the secret entrance is, and the fact that I can't seem to keep a lock on that closet door, you should bring it upstairs." She grabbed the book and then walked over for her own, carefully holding them separate. The books fought when they touched each other, a situation that her grandmother couldn't explain. "Come on, and let's cook." It was a pretty spring day in Magic Springs. Mia stared out the large windows looking out over the mountain range the town had been named for, and wished she was outside with Mr. Darcy. Wildflowers had begun to bloom out in the woods past the grassy backyard, and she wanted to walk the back area so she could figure out where she was putting her garden plot. "Aren't you working tomorrow? If not, you could invite Trent over and he could help you plan the landscaping." Grans followed her out of the chemistry lab and to the stairs that would take them from the second-floor classrooms to her apartment on the third floor. "Maybe he could devise a plan to block the secret entrance as well. The man seems very versatile." Mia slowly climbed the stairs, keeping her pace even so her grandmother wouldn't hurry to keep up. "Trent's tried. He says the house is preventing anyone from closing it off. He thinks there's a ward on the entrance, but he hasn't figured it out yet. Do you think someone added in some magical additions when they built the school?" Her grandmother didn't answer until she was on the landing in front of the apartment door. There were only three doors on this floor. One to Mia's apartment, one to a storage room, and one that was locked, and Mia couldn't find the key. Trent thought it led to a widow's walk on the top of the building. She glanced at the locked door as she unlocked the apartment and waited while Gran stepped in ahead of her. Finally, she sat down in the kitchen and motioned to Mia to set her grimoire on the table. Are you okay? I can get a contractor in here to install an elevator if the stairs are too much. Mia set Gran's grimoire in front of her, then returned her own to its spot on the kitchen bookshelf. The book shared its shelf with Gloria, Mia's kitchen witch, and a few crystals. Her grandmother looked up from scanning the book's pages. Why on earth would I need an elevator?
You didn't say anything. I thought you were winded.
Mia dropped into the chair near the fridge and wondered if there was any sun tea left.
I was thinking. You asked me a question, and I was trying to remember if I had any notes in the grimoire about spell work done when the school was built. If I remember right, the school was built in 1940. My mother might have been part of the construction crew.
She flipped through the pages as she talked.
Our family's magical history is in my grimoire. Someday, because your mother has passed on the opportunity to learn the craft, the history will all move to your book.
Mia frowned as she looked at her book on the shelf.
Maybe I should have gotten a bigger one.
Or you could just will me that book and I can keep it as well as my own. Kind of like volumes.
Gran shook her head.
It doesn't work like that. When I pass on, the spells our family of witches has developed over the years will move into your book. My book will die with me. Most witches have their books buried with them, but really it's just a shell by the time of the ceremony. The spells will pass as soon as my tie to the earthly plane is broken.
Mia thought about this new bit of magical family history she hadn't known.
So what happened to Dorian's book? Because he's still here and all.
His physical tie has been broken. He's only here in spirit.
Gran shrugged.
I assume his daughter got the new book delivered to her place in Hollywood. I'm sure she'll try to use the spells to further her career, which of course will ruin the book and all its lovely spells. I really hope Dorian talked to her about the power she now wields. I tried to talk to her at the funeral, but she looked at me like I was a crazy old woman. Can you make me a cup of tea?
Mia stood and filled the tea kettle, putting it on the stove to heat up.
I thought we'd have roasted pork and vegetables tonight. I have some apple pie for dessert.
Is Christina joining us?
Granz kept slowly turning pages.
Christina was the only employee of Mia's Morsels, as well as Mia's almost sister-in-law and now roommate.
Or would you call the sister of the jerk you were once engaged to an ex-almost sister-in-law?
Either way, she was turning into an amazing chef, even though her career goals were focused more on the hospitality side of the business. More than that, she had become a good friend. Mia got out cups and tea bags. She would have her own herbs this year to dry for tea mixtures this summer, as soon as she got the garden planned and planted. There was a lot of work to be done before she'd be sipping a cup of her own brew next fall.
Christina's returning home this weekend from her birthday trip. She spent the week with her parents and Isaac in Bermuda at their vacation place.
When I turned 21, no one sent me on an all-expenses Caribbean trip. We were just adults.
Gran studied a spell in the grimoire, then shook her head and turned the page.
How did school go for her this term? Does she like the business classes?
Now that she's in charge of her future, school feels different now, and she's loving the hospitality program.
She's a natural, but her heart is in event planning. She's probably going to open her own shop as soon as she gets the degree.
Mia poured the water over the bags and brought the steaming cups to the table.
I'm glad she finally found her passion.
I'm surprised she's still living here with you. I would have thought she'd have gone home to stay with her folks.
This time, Granz did glance up, watching Mia's reaction.
I'm not sure, but I believe she's here because she needs connection. Being home would have been miserable for her. Her mother would have pushed her into law or pre-med, something that Christina didn't want. Mia played with the bag, not letting it steep on its own. I know she's not really related to me, but I like playing big sister, and she does a lot for the catering company.
You could hire someone with fewer issues.
Grans refocused on the book.
But I understand your concern about the girl. She's special.
Mia stood and grabbed her laptop. As she booted it up, she grinned at her grandmother. Maybe I can find some information about the builders and who was involved in the school planning.
How will that help? They're probably all dead by now.
She stood and got a notebook from her desk drawer. Probably, but maybe you'll recognize some of the names from the coven. And if they were in the coven, maybe they passed on their spells to someone in the family.
Grand nodded. That's brilliant. I wouldn't have thought of it.
I only just did, probably because of your explanation about how the family grimoires work. All we have to do is find the witch or witches who are part of the development of the school. She keyed information into her search engine and went to find the information. 2 hours later, her stomach was growling, and she had three names: Charles Silas Miller, Andrew Nathan McDonald, and Horace James Blau. Her grandmother looked at the names as Mia pulled out the sheet pan where she'd roasted dinner. The roast felt done, but she put a meat thermometer inside just in case. Perfect temperature, she thought, as the digital readout blinked.
I don't know any of these men. Of course, I was just a little girl when the school was built. I wasn't even in school yet.
Grans put the laptop and notebook on Mia's desk, along with her grimoire.
Don't let me forget this when you drive me home.
I won't. Believe me, I don't want to deal with the problems. Mia got out plates and served the meal. After a few bites, she set down her fork and smiled. I love this kitchen. It's not as high-tech as the one in my house in Boise, but it feels good. The school feels comfortable, even the places I haven't had time to clean and organize.
I'm glad you feel at home. That's important to your ability to be happy. You kept too busy in Boise to even breathe, let alone figure out what your heart was telling you.
Gran sipped from her water.
Speaking of your heart, how are you and Trent doing?
We're fine. Trent was the owner-manager of Major's Grocery and Mia's boyfriend. He was also a reluctant witch, not like his little brother who enjoyed magic and its benefits. Mia figured that Levi's living here was the real reason Christina had stayed in town. But he was a good guy, and she didn't mind having him and his brother over most nights. He's been getting some flack from John Lewis about selling again. I guess John thinks if Major's closes, he can get a bigger grocery store to come into town.
I can't believe he isn't still in jail for what he did to you. Holding a gun on someone just isn't a joke in my mind.
Grand's lips pursed together. She didn't like talking about John Lewis. Not at all. Apparently, it wasn't loaded, and John has friends in the county government. Anyway, he's supposed to stay away from me, so that's a win at least. I haven't seen him since he came back from his trip to Boise when he did his time. Mia used air quotes. He must have some really powerful friends to just get 6 weeks in the low-security prison section. I heard he was still running his realty business while he was in lockup. I hate to see him actually make money by ripping Major's Grocery out of Magic Springs.
That's not going to happen. Albertson's already opened a small store in Sun Valley. There's no way they'd open a second one so close. Besides, all the one in Sun Valley carries is prepared foods and gourmet items. I stopped in for a few items the other day and couldn't even find regular flour. Rice flour, yes, but not all-purpose.
Grans glanced around the room.
It's feeling chilly in here. Do you have the heat on?
Yes, but only in the apartment. Mia glanced around the room, hoping she wouldn't find Dorothy Purcell. The local ghost had expanded her haunting spots from the nursing home and the hospital to the school Mia had bought. She guessed she should feel grateful the ghost liked her enough to visit, but sometimes it wicked her out. Like the whole Mr. Darcy and Dorian thing. A slight tapping echoed through the apartment. What is that? Mia got up and walked to the living room. Mr. Darcy. He started pawing at the door when he wants in. I'm not sure if he came up with the idea or if it's Dorian being polite. Her grandmother stirred her tea and looked up when Mia returned from letting Mr. Darcy into the apartment. I think it's time to talk a little more about the history of our family grimoire. Grans cleared the table of plates, then she sat down. Do you have any whiskey, dear? This is going to be a little bit of a shock. Chapter 2 Mia made coffee, poured two shots of whiskey for her grandmother, and checked not only the apartment door but also the downstairs door to make sure they were locked before Mary Alice would talk. Finally, Mia sat at the table and stared her down. She sipped her coffee while she watched her grandmother wrestle with whatever it was she needed to tell her. This is why I like being a kitchen witch. There's no drama, no transferring and stealing powers or books. We're just here dealing with the positive vibes of the world. She glanced at her familiar Gloria, but the doll was turned away from her too. Something was definitely wrong. Okay, now you are scaring me. What's going on? Grans looked at the empty shot glass, then at the bottle. She shook her head, obviously deciding that another drink wouldn't help. Instead, she sipped her coffee. Mia, dear, I told you today that the spells a family owns pass from one witch to another. One that is bone of my bone, blood of my blood. Related, you mean, Mia clarified for her grandmother. She shook her head. Yes and no. It's more than just related. My sister wouldn't get the spells when I die. You would. You're my descendant. The only way the spells would go to someone else is if I didn't have children or grandchildren. Mia didn't know where this was going, but she felt her grandmother was taking the long way round to giving her an answer. Okay, I get it. What am I supposed to know? The spells from our family go back a long way, to the beginning of the Americas, and even before that. But I believe, well, the book says, we are bishops. Grans pushed out the words as if they'd been burning a hole in her throat. She sipped the coffee. Okay. Mia still didn't know why the spirit was mad at all. Forgive me for asking the obvious, but who are the bishops? I think we'll stop here. We can talk more later. Grans glanced at the clock. Do you mind taking me home? I'm tired. Of course. Mia stood and grabbed her keys while her grandmother picked up her purse. Watch the house, Mr. Darcy. I'll be right back. The cat jumped up on the wingback chair that was facing the front door. He circled into a ball on the seat, but his gaze never left the door. Mia and Grans left the apartment and walked toward Mia's van. The vehicle didn't look great, but it worked well for deliveries and catering gigs, so she didn't care that it wasn't as pretty as the new ones owned by the lodge for their events. As they drove the few minutes to Grand's place, Mia tried to get her grandmother to tell her more about her heritage, but her grandmother kept waving the questions away. I'm sorry, Mia. I need to make sure I'm telling you things the right way. Mia pulled the van into Grand's driveway. As soon as the van stopped, Grand's hurried out into her front door, not waiting for Mia to get out. Something had her spooked, and Mia was going to find out what it was. Mia was back home and unlocking the front door when she realized that Grans had left her grimoire here at the house. I even told her I wouldn't forget. I guess I'll just lock it in my safe. I'll leave mine out on the shelf. It wasn't the best plan, but it was the only one she had. She couldn't lock both of them up in the same space. they'd fight to the death. Besides, she wasn't going anywhere, so no one would have a chance to get into the apartment. She relocked the door and headed upstairs. She was beat. Her cell rang just as she was settling into her bedroom with a book to read. Seeing the display, she smiled as she answered. "Hey, Trent, I was thinking about you tonight."
"Really? Tell me more, especially the dirty parts."
He chuckled over the line. She had to grin. It was about the dirty part she needed his help, just not what he was thinking. "Okay, then. Can you come over here about 10 tomorrow morning? I'll cook you a late breakfast."
"You know the way to my heart, but you still haven't told me what you need exactly. I'd enjoy hearing the details, especially from you."
His voice was deep and husky.
"Maybe I should come over now?"
"I'm tired. Granz was over all day and we were trying to find a spell to free Dorian. Tomorrow we'll have to do. You don't have to work, do you?" She lay on the bed and plumped up her pillow, then turned on the reading light.
"It's my day off. I guess I'll see you then if you're not going to talk dirty to me,"
he said, trying to persuade her. She yawned.
"There will be plenty of dirt tomorrow, I promise."
"Good to know. Good night, Mia."
"Good night, Trent." Mia hung up the phone and set it on her wireless charger. Then she opened her book and started reading. It was long after midnight when she finally turned off the light. She'd be cutting it close to her getting 8 hours of sleep before Trent arrived. But the story had been so worth it. The next morning, sunlight streamed into her bedroom, waking her, along with the birdsong that came from the surrounding trees. She loved getting up when her body told her it was time, rather than for some artificial clock so she could go work for someone else. In Boise, she'd been the head of catering for the hotel, but because her ex-boyfriend, Isaac, had also been her boss, he'd scheduled planning meetings at 6 every Monday morning, even if she'd catered an event the night before. One more reason she was glad she was out of the relationship and her own boss now. She got ready for her day, and by the time she'd reached the kitchen, Mr. Darcy was in the laundry room, waiting to be fed. She took a can of wet cat food and put some in his bowl. The look on the cat's face was one of pure disgust. "Sorry, Dorian, but you know Mr. Darcy loves his turkey and liver." The cat dug into the food, and she went to the counter to make a cup of coffee. She had an expensive coffee maker, but most days she used the one-cup model she'd bought for her work office. She grabbed a carton of yogurt and a banana, and once the coffee was done, she started eating. She'd cook eggs and toast for Trent when he arrived, but she liked lighter fare. Noticing her grimoire, she crossed the room to move it to the table. She opened the cover and studied the page where her first spell was written. Small, tiny handwriting with a ruler line drawn below the words. She remembered asking Gran to draw the pencil lines so she wouldn't go crooked on the spell. She'd wanted her book to be nice and neat. She flipped through the pages, and as she did, she remembered each of the situations concerning the spells. She wondered how the book would feel with the family spells added. Hopefully she wouldn't find out for a long time. The main door doorbell rang, and she glanced at the video feed of Trent waving at her. She stood and buzzed him in. She'd replaced the original system with a higher-tech one a few months ago, after someone had broken into her house. The upgrade had been expensive, but it had been worth it. She must have saved a ton of trips down the stairs, and she could totally ignore door-to-door salesmen. Who made a living like that anymore anyway? Instead of sitting down, she went to meet him and unlock the apartment door. Trent was finishing the last set of stairs and held a card out to her.
"Looks like you had a visitor last night or this morning."
She took the business card. It was John Lewis's, and it had a note scribbled on the back. She read it aloud. "Call me when you decide to sell. Sooner than later, and you'll get a bonus from me." I can't believe this. Man, he's persistent.
Do you want me to talk to him?
He shut the door and locked it, then followed her into the kitchen.
I could take a bat with me to help him understand the words coming out of my mouth.
My luck, he'd say something totally stupid and you'd be tempted to use your prop. She nodded to the coffee maker. Tell me what you want for breakfast, and you can make your coffee to get you by while I cook. He stepped over to the counter and took out a cup.
Actually, I had to run out to see my folks, so my mom made me biscuits and gravy. So just coffee's fine.
Everything okay at the farm? Mia had met his folks once at a community dinner and auction. His dad was the jovial type who loved everyone. His mom? She was more reserved, more watchful. Mia couldn't tell if they approved of her dating their son or not. Trent watched his coffee finish brewing and brought it over to the table. He glanced at her grimoire, but didn't say anything about it.
Everything's fine. They updated the will and wanted me to know the changes. Boring estate stuff.
That's funny. I had a chat with Grans yesterday about the way our family passes down spells and such. I didn't realize spellbooks were a historical record of the family tree. She eyed her spellbook and laid her hand over the top of it. Maybe that's why my book and Grans don't get along. Her book sees us as their replacement. Trent shifted in his chair, focusing on his coffee. Then he changed the subject.
What's on the agenda today?
She studied him. There was definitely something he wasn't saying. Okay, spill. What do you know about passing down grimoires?
Mostly that they're a pain in the butt.
He set aside his coffee.
I don't know this, but I've heard stories that sometimes books can start fighting between themselves, throwing a revolution of sorts. I think it's more likely that the descendants decided it was their time to shine and took out their elders. Either way, the coven has a history of early ascension of powerful leaders after the accidental death of their elder.
Wow. She stood and put her spellbook back on the shelf. Sometimes I forget that a lot of witchcraft isn't as warm and cozy as the kitchen witch branch. I just want the world to be a happy, safe place to live. What about the rule of three?
That's only a limitation on human witches. If a familiar or an object does the act, it doesn't have a body to bounce back to.
He reached down and scratched Mr. Darcy on the head.
I see you weren't effective in freeing Dorian yesterday.
Mia shook her head. No, we weren't. And I'm beginning to think Gran's heart isn't in the reversal spell. Mr. Darcy made a noise, then ran from the kitchen.
Sounds like Dorian has been thinking along the same lines. I'll ask Mom if she knows of any spells. Maybe she's seen it happen before.
He glanced at his watch.
Time is ticking. Why did you want me to come over today?
She pulled out a notebook in which she'd drawn the starting of a landscape design. She didn't have any measurements or utility markers, but it was a beginning. She tapped her pencil on the page. I want you to help me set up an herb garden over here, near the back fence. He took the notebook, then went to the window.
You want it on the left of the willow?
She followed him and pointed out the markers. It's going to be crazy big, but I need a place where I can grow herbs to dry and package for the winter. Sometimes your provider doesn't carry what I need to make certain dishes, and I love to maintain a small vegetable garden for my own kitchen. He compared the drawing to the landscape outside and then set it down.
We can't dig until we get the utilities marked. I'll call that in now, and we can go and set it up so when they get paint down, we're ready.
So you're going to help? Excitement over the possibilities of the garden almost made her words more of a shriek. Thank you so much.
It'll be a fun project. Besides, we can see how well we work together. Sometimes that's the Achilles heel for couples. Dating's fine, but you put them into a project and add some stress and they fall apart.
He turned to study her.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?